Hi, friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Tie That Binds podcast with me, your host, Ty. This is the show where we talk to interesting people, have thought-provoking conversations, learn things, and hopefully at the end, we're able to tie it all back together. I'm particularly excited about this episode. We welcome in renowned and well-respected coin expert, Mike Marshall. Mike joins us literally from just across the bridge. It really is quite amazing, the people you've got in your own backyard. Mike comes to talk to us today about counterfeit coins, specifically the influx of counterfeit toonies in this country. He teaches us how to identify counterfeit toonies. He tells us his battles and takedowns of PayPal, eBay, and DHgate. Thanks for listening, everybody, and I hope you enjoy my conversation with the one and only Mike Marshall.
History, this was a boom town. Now it's not so much, but there's still a group that'll do anything for anybody, whether if it's the curling club, the Sting, oh God, I'm old, the whatever they call them now, the Golden Hawks?
Well, that's the hockey team.
The hockey team. It used to be the Trenton Sting.
Well, I mean, for as long as I've been here since 2020, it's been the Golden Hawks. But yeah, I can't speak for how long it has not been the Sting. But
it's the Sting, the Canadian military bought the F-18s, the Hornet. Their logo was a Hornet. Now it's the Golden Hawks, which was the F-86 Sabres that the Air Force flew. That was their demonstration team before the Snowbirds. So they've just migrated to the Golden Hawks. Now you know where that name came from.
And you are military, right?
I'm retired military, yes.
So when I first, I already hit record because this is good stuff. I first heard of you on Global News. I have it wrote down here on November 21st of 23. They ran a story and you were on it. And as soon as you came on the TV with your location, I almost fell out of my chair. I said to my wife, I go, this guy lives here in town. I got to figure out who he is. I have to figure out who this guy is, and I have to speak to him. I have to meet this guy. So I'm not a huge Facebook user, but I went on there, and I looked you up, and I couldn't find you. So I went to a neighborhood-style group, and I said, does anybody know Mike Marshall? And instantly, somebody came up and says, yep, I used to work with him at the military base, and she gave me a link to how to get to hold of you, and that's how I got a hold of you, knowing that you were military. So now I know that side of the story, which is, I have the utmost respect for all military vets. It's fantastic.
I still work on the base. I work for the Corps of Commissioners at 8 Wing.
What do you do there?
I'm a supervisor of the Airfield Commissioners.
I'm not so sure I know what that means.
That means I duck airplanes every day.
That's fantastic. I love it. I love it. You know what? Like I said, we're not from here, but I love it. I love watching the airplanes go by. I love the fact that they're here. I love the fact that people like you are here. They're taking care of the airplanes, and I think it's fantastic. So thanks for your service, and thanks for all that you continue to do.
Well, thank you. 8 Wing Trenton's been here a long time.
So to put a feather in my own cap, I recently did a project with a local filmmaker named, his name is Sean Scally. I don't know if you know who he is or not. And he made a movie for the 100th centennial anniversary of the airbase. And I actually narrated it for him.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's just a short little, like 18, 19 minute little movie. There's no actors in it. It's pictures and still frames and little short clips that he's a historian. So he has an archive of, I can't even fathom what he's got an archive of, but yeah, it's about an 18 or 19 minute movie, and I narrated it, and I learned a lot just from the, you know, 7 or 8 page script he sent me. It was fantastic. I had no idea. Like, I mean, obviously, I've been here long enough. You know, it's 100 years this April 1st, and there's an air show this year. But super excited for that.
Nice.
And it's super cool. I think it's important. I think it's good stuff.
It's our heritage, our military heritage. It's changing pretty drastically, but our heritage isn't. Our heritage is what it was. And it can't be forgotten.
No, and it shouldn't be. It's very important. And from what I learned from the short film, I mean, we trained the British and the Australians and the folks from New Zealand, you know, to fly these airplanes to fight in the Second World War.
Absolutely.
And if they weren't trained here, they might not have been trained.
There was nowhere for them to go. You can't go in theater for training. And nobody wanted to talk to the Americans then, so.
Well, so I'll be sure to send you a link. It's a quick little movie. I'm actually quite proud of it. So
I'd like to see that, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Mike, I brought you here to talk about counterfeit coins because, like I said, I seen you in a Global News article. And, yeah, I was in disbelief that you're so local to me, so I was really excited to meet you. We had some conflicting schedules, but we're here right now, so that's fantastic. I thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So I don't know where do you want to start? I've got some notes here. I don't habitually do a lot of notes, but I've got notes here from this gentleman from Richmond Hill area, last name He, and I've got all kinds of questions about counterfeit coins and how somebody even becomes a counterfeit coin expert. I can't even fathom what that path is like, but where do you want to start?
The individual you mentioned from Richmond Hill, that deals with modern counterfeit toonies that are in circulation right now in Canada that the government doesn't want to talk about.
Now, why don't they want to talk about it?
I believe they're afraid to admit that it's possible. There's millions of them. Like, not 10,000 like he got caught with. Not the 20,000 the guy in Quebec got caught with. 26,000, actually. That's a drop in the bucket. Recently, I went to a bank here in town, and 4% of the toonies are counterfeit. So if you do the math, if it runs nationally like that, which it won't, like, I'm not saying it will, but in Ontario right now, if it's 4% of 500 million toonies.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of counterfeit toonies, and people can have them in their mason jars at home. You take them to the bank, and they say, nope, that's counterfeit. You lose it. It's gone. They don't give you $2 back for it, but they're not educating the locals, which is wrong.
Is there not? I always thought there was a program through the bank that they did insure against counterfeit money. Do they not do that?
No, sir. It is 100% loss to the person that attempts to deposit it.
I wonder if the average person knows that.
Probably not. And to be honest, when do people look at their pocket change?
Well, before I met you or heard about you, the answer to that would be seldomly, unless I'm looking for or spot an American quarter or a quarter from the Yukon, which is very rare, or, you know, something out of the norm, or, you know, once in a blue moon, you might get like something from England that's the size of a dime that got passed off as a dime. But other than that, or some of the
just
fancy,
an oddity, right?
Or a fancy toonie that has some color on it that otherwise it wouldn't. But I mean, other than that, yep. No, nobody looks at their change.
Most people say, well, why would somebody counterfeit a toonie? So if you pay 5 cents for a $2 coin and you have access to 100,000 of those counterfeit coins and you sell them for a dollar each to, let's use organized crime as an example. They're going to double their money, and you're almost doubling yours, and who checks their change?
Yeah, nobody.
Coin collectors.
So you and about 8 of your friends.
Well, there's a couple more than that. Like, the counterfeit toonies were identified for the first time by a coin collector in a retail environment when somebody sold them a roll of toonies. they cracked them into their till, and they went, hey, wait a second, they're bright and shiny. Hey, wait a second, there's something wrong here. This isn't right. They took them home, all of them, took pictures, put them online, and then it snowballed from there. And that just happened to be very close to Richmond Hill.
I mean, that to me sounds like, I'm trying to think of the right word, but, you know, like shitting in your backyard. Like, if you're going to import crappy money, I wouldn't be depositing it in my backyard.
And that's, nobody looks.
Well, nobody you're right.
Notices. They got away with it for how long? We don't know.
So in the Global News article that I seen you in, you made a really good point that, you know, $100 bill, somebody might check that. If it looks suspicious or anything about it seems off, they might do something about it. But, I mean, there's a good chance that most of us have had some sort of counterfeit coin in our hands at some point in time and nobody looks at it. Like, why would you?
Exactly. It just doesn't,
because, you know, not that they're valueless, but in the grand scheme of it all, most of us make a toonie every moment or so, or every couple moments. It just, you know, we spend it on coffee every morning. It's non-sequitur. Nobody thinks about it.
Okay, let's put this in a different perspective. What we'll do is we'll use a corner store. They struggle every day to make money to pay the bills. Nobody has educated these people as to what they're looking at, except myself and counterfeit coin people online. Imagine this. Somebody comes into a corner store. Do you want to buy two rolls of toonies? $100. Well, absolutely. It saves me going to the bank to get change. I always need toonies. You make sure there's 50 in each roll. Give the individual their $100. You all of a sudden have a run on toonies. You've got all kinds. Well, I'm just going to deposit these back. They're counterfeit. That corner store just lost $100. Their whole day's sales may have only been $200, of which 30% was profit. They've now lost more than their daily profit. And that's all because they weren't educated by the powers to be, whether if it's the government, the Royal Canadian Mint, or the police officers.
So where did you get the figure that 4% might be counterfeit? Is that your own math? Or
no, that's factual math. That is me going to banks, randomly buying rolls of toonies. Okay. For example, I'll go to Bank X. Notice I'm being polite. I'm not naming names.
No. Good for you.
And I'll go in and I'll buy four rolls of toonies. There's 25 coins in a roll. So there's 100 coins. If I get four counterfeit, math's pretty easy. It's 4%. There are times I've got as high as 12%. I've never gotten zero since this started.
And when did you start on this mission?
2020.
So you've been at this 3.5-4 years.
Just
say.
For the counterfeit toonies. Since 2020. I went as far as took a complete set of them to our member of parliament at the time. During COVID. And I said, here you go. I showed him how to identify them. With a loop, a magnifying apparatus. I gave him blow-up images, and he was shocked. And I said, why won't the government do something about this? He said, I'll pass it on up the food chain. I mean, that's all I can ask. The government of Canada mailed the counterfeit coins back to me, which is illegal. No letter, no nothing. They just mailed the coins back to me.
Why is that illegal? Are you not allowed to send legal tender in mail?
It's not legal tender if it's counterfeit.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Somebody's in possession of counterfeit money, which is illegal.
And you can't possess, barter, sell, or buy counterfeit, knowingly counterfeit coins, unless it is for educational purposes, with the onus on you to prove you educate on them. The law is very explicit. The government broke their own law, sending them back to me.
And you are credited somehow as an expert, or you are credited that you are an educator in this?
All you have to do is Google my name.
Which I did. I can vet. You are very Googleable.
And I educate on counterfeit coins. I have a letter from the Royal Canadian Numismatic Association stating that I am an expert on counterfeit coins and that I freely educate off of them. I do seminars at large coin shows. Every day I offer advice online and opinions. And I'll bet you I get 25 emails a week from people asking my opinion on coins.
And that's why you're here on the Tie That Binds podcast today to talk about this.
Exactly. And I thank you for the platform. It's hard to get the information out, whether if it's numismatic coins, like our old coins, or the counterfeit toonies, the counterfeit paper money. Counterfeit paper money is a little different. The government reacts and puts out panic warnings. But when it comes to coins, they don't say anything. There is a investigative reporter that did that global news segment you saw. He is incredible. He dug and found out an awful lot of information about what the government knew, what they didn't know, and they're just playing ostrich. They're putting their heads in the ground. The Royal Canadian Mint says, oh, it's a Toronto area based issue. That's funny. I'm not in Toronto. I don't get rolls of coins from Toronto.
And if you're finding them at Bank X downtown, then that means the problem is here in the Quinte West area.
Bank X, Y, and Z. It's not just one branch. It's Tim Hortons is the greatest place to get them. I buy coffee every morning on my way to work. I get toonies in my change. More times than not, I get counterfeit toonies back. I don't know, where are they buying their toonies from? They don't get them from the bank. It's security companies that deliver them, et cetera, et cetera. But the government isn't after them.
So I would have to think it's because the denomination is so little, it's not worth somebody's time, effort, labor, or any of that to pursue this. Is that the case?
I think it's the egg on the face syndrome. They don't want to feel inadequate. The Royal Canadian Mint's known for having the finest security features in coinage in the world.
Is that an actual fact?
No, because people don't understand the security features. The maple leaf was supposed to be a security feature on the toonies. And they're crude, but they're on the coins. The newest counterfeit toonie, which I don't even have an example of. I've only ever seen images. And five, I believe, have been found in circulation, but that was up north. And the counterfeiters match the security features. They do not have the electronic signature, but once again, who's going to buy the equipment to check that? It's a quick check. It's a toonie. It's $2. Put it in the till. There's a grocery store here that was a great help to me. I know the owners, and I said, man, can I check your tills? Sure, let's go look. 5 coins in. Mike, I got one. I said, okay, keep looking. Oh, there's another one. And they're commonplace, but they're still counterfeit. And like I said, you try and deposit them at the bank. There was a run there of about 6 months. They were checking every deposited toonie and were taking them. That has slowed down now. I don't understand why, but I think you can see with the example I gave how that could hurt a corner store or small business. Just a couple of rolls, $100, is that bad? Yeah, it is. One counterfeit toonie is too many, and the government can do something about it, same as the English did. The £1 coin was so counterfeited, they had to demonetize it, pull it out of circulation, and come up with a totally new coin.
When was that?
I believe, don't quote me, 2015, 2016, very close to that. Because there was more counterfeits in circulation than there was real ones.
Which demonetizes the coin in its own. You're completely devaluing it by flooding the market with valueless stuff that people are taking for face value.
And the government's losing money hand over fist.
Big time. Huge money losses.
But in England, it was front page news. In Canada, who cares?
So I grew up in a self-employed household, and I remember, I'm going to say 20 years ago, when the money was still paperish, and you took like one of them blue light laser pointers and you could kind of zoom over it and you could tell a counterfeit. Yep. And back at that time, and I mean, my dad still does, but he gladly accepts cash as payment. He's got no problem doing that. Sure, you want to pay cash? Great, I'll take cash. And I remember him and mom buying like a little device that he carried with him in his work van. And because he got burned one time, he got burned with some like fake $50 bills.
Yep.
And
a little black light.
Yeah.
Made it illuminate.
Yeah. Black light, you know, went to the bank and the bank said, okay, well, where did you get them? And there was a bit of an investigation. I don't remember. I was just a kid. I don't remember where it went. But, yeah, I remember quite well that dad took a little blue black light and dealt with that. But like we alluded to earlier, these are bills. These are big denominations. A toonie is nothing more than just $2 that gets wasted, thrown in a mason jar, thrown away, given to a kid. Nobody really thinks about it.
But the government's still being zapped for that money.
Well, because it's legal money, and by the masses, we're talking large sums of money here.
And it's why they haven't stepped up. It's the same as the counterfeit numismatic coins. The government wouldn't help me one iota. One RCMP officer stepped up to the plate in 2006 to help me fight eBay and the counterfeit numismatic coins right back from our first Canadian coinage, the 1858 large cent. The government, the OPP, the RCMP, they were not interested until one RCMP officer in British Columbia happened to be a coin collector, saw articles I was doing in Canadian Coin News that identified them. It showed people how to see the markers. What I mean by markers is mistakes on the coins that were obvious. If you see this on your coin, don't buy it. On eBay, there was literally thousands of counterfeit Canadian coins for sale on eBay. So there's PayPal, MasterCard, Visa. All these people are making money off counterfeiting. eBay's making money hand over fist off counterfeiting. That's how I was able to convince eBay the error of their ways, that it's, you can't make money off illegal coins because that's what they are.
Do you want to get into that story a little bit on how you did that?
Sure.
Because I mean, especially in the early 2000s, I mean, eBay was where everybody went to buy everything. I got caught in that trap. A lot of the crap I own, I mean, a lot of it's pretty cool, but I mean, I spend lots of time and money on eBay, less and less now, but that's a big ship. And whatever you did, you know, I'd love to hear that.
I just wouldn't let up. I went at eBay. They kept saying, well, that's up to the seller. That's up to the seller. No, you're the one profiting from it. And I went to the government. I proved it. They were counterfeit. I challenged people, and you got to remember, these were all made in China. And that should be a red flag right there, but secondary sellers got on the market. They would buy them from China for 25, 50 cents a piece. if the coin was real, it'd be worth $3,000. So they'd put it on eBay, $700, buy it now. People would buy it. They'd get it in the mail, put it in a 2x2, all proud of themselves, because they're greedy. Everybody's greedy. eBay was selling these things like hotcakes. I went to the police. They went, nope, not interested, not our monkey, go to the government. Went to the government, not interested. One RCMP officer happened to be what's called the counterfeit coordinator in British Columbia. His envelope was everything counterfeit, but he also happened to be a coin collector. So I proved it to them, they were counterfeit. He said, okay, let's go to work. We started pounding eBay between the two of us. Finally, he used his law enforcement badge. The entire replica category disappeared from eBay.
Was that here, just here in Canada or North America or worldwide?
That was worldwide for Canadian coins. The policy became, it is against eBay selling policy to sell counterfeit and or replica Canadian coins. So the offshoot of that, they removed the entire category, changed their policy. Life was great. People online were calling me Don Quixote because I was sword fighting windmills because they couldn't believe you could beat a big company. But you can if you're persistent and you're right. But then Alibaba came up. They literally on every day would have 10,000 replica Canadian and American coins on their platform in China. So while all this was going on, eBay gave me a letter stating, yes, they acknowledge that I am a known expert in counterfeit coins. Mistake number one. At the time, eBay owned PayPal. They don't now. They sold it. But they did own PayPal. There's a company in the United States called Collectors Universe. They grade coins. Third-party authentication is what they do. Whether if it's comic books, coins, they're a massive company. I contacted them and I said, they're counterfeiting your holders. We know that. I said, we'll do something about it. Well, we can't. We've got lawyers that have been doing this for years. We pay them big money and they're fighting the Chinese government, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I said, you're doing it wrong. He said, how do you know? I said, go after the money. Because it's illegal, in particular in the United States, for a bank to profit from counterfeiting. They've got that funny charge called RICO, and it swings a real heavy stick. So I told the vice president of Collectors Universe, I said, give me 30 days. If I'm successful, you pay me what you pay your lawyers for a month. He said, if you can do this, I'll pay you. But, you know, who do you think you are from Trenton, Ontario? I said, maybe I'll approach it a little differently. And sure enough, Alibaba had just got PayPal. Massive, because now everybody trusts PayPal, buyer protection plans, et cetera, et cetera. And they told me they were doing roughly $30 million a day.
$30 million a day in what?
Everything. All sales.
Oh, yeah. I don't doubt that.
On the Alibaba platform.
I don't doubt that one bit. They sell everything.
Yep. So I got a hold of PayPal. In Las Vegas was where the office was that was looking after China. And I said, you have to stop with Alibaba, because you're making money off counterfeiting. And if you don't stop, I will provide this information to the United States, who would love to seize PayPal's assets, because that's what they do.
Is 30 days enough, though, to pull this off?
That was the second day I got a hold of PayPal. So we're on day two. Okay. And PayPal says, well, who are you? Under what authority? And I said, check your email. I've sent you a scanned copy of a letter from your parent company, eBay, which states, I am a recognized and acknowledged expert in counterfeit coins. So if I tell you coins are counterfeit, you have to react. You cannot make money on them. And they went, you're right. I said, okay, we were talking on the phone now. I said, let's go to Alibaba, you on your computer, me on mine. And we looked at, there's over 10,000 entries in one category. And they said, okay, I'm on the category. Which ones are counterfeit? My response was, all of them. Make the category go away or withdraw PayPal from Alibaba Complete, or I will provide this information to the American authorities. Within 12 hours, the category was gone off Alibaba. So I called Collectors Universe, and I had the vice president's office phone number. He said, Mike, I'm on my way to a big meeting. I really don't have time for this. I said, make time. You may wish to announce this. He went, what? I said, go to Alibaba. He said, Mike, I said, go to the category. He goes, I can't. It's not there. I said, have a nice day. And I hung up the phone. 5 minutes later, he called me back. He said, you're kidding. It's gone? I went, yeah. And I told him how I did it. And I gave it to him in writing in case it ever came back. But once you get the stick on your side, don't be afraid to use it.
So what's your suggestion, that all coins should be bought and sold through authorized dealers, I guess? Or graded?
Hubby, we use the term trusted sources, whether if it's your local coin club, dealers. There's the Canadian Association of Numismatic Dealers. There's local coin clubs, reputable people within the club. If you're going to buy something from somebody you don't know, do your research. Know what you're going to buy. Know what it's supposed to look like. And when you look at the coin you're going to buy, look at what's there, not what you expect to see. That's the biggest thing. Education. Numismatically, it's too easy to get duped when there's multiple thousands of dollars, potentially tens of thousands of dollars on the line. Like that 1 ounce gold coin I handed you today that's counterfeit. Learn the markers of the counterfeits. It's out there online to find. I've made it as accessible as possible. Kijiji's horrible anymore. eBay, not so much. They've got things in place which prevent people from attempting it. But that doesn't mean they're going to put the wrong picture up. So that's where buyer protection plan from eBay is good. It is a great thing. All the Facebook chat groups that sell coins, there's dozens of them. They don't have those protections.
Yeah, but with those groups, you're dealing with like-minded people, people like yourself, who are educated or know somebody like yourself.
There's too many scammers out there.
Oh, I won't deny that.
That will steal your account, your Facebook account. Not you personally, but your account, and then put up a stock picture of a coin. Just a picture they got online, both sides. It's real. But the coin you send them is made in China. You're out $300. You've got no recourse to get your money back because you don't even know who sent it to you. You sent it to a fictitious bank like the scammers do. Poof, gone. You go to the cops and they go, you should have been more careful.
Yeah, buyer beware, right? You didn't get a receipt. You can't take it back.
Exactly. And you didn't use PayPal, so you've got no buyer's protection plan. You're at $300. That's what kills hobbies. And that's one of the things I fight on Canadian Coin News every day. One counterfeit coin, one guy actually used the analogy, well, just throw that coin in the water. Yeah, I said, really? Do you see that ripple? That ripple gets bigger and bigger and bigger. If somebody loses their recreational dollar, they're going to leave the hobby. If one person leaves the hobby, we all lose. And that's the same as the counterfeit toonies in your pocket. If our money's not trustable, that can lead to issues. And it makes other people more brazen to try it, because China still sells counterfeit toonies every day. And if people think it's easy, they're right.
I definitely want to talk about that, but I'm really interested to find out, how did you get into this? Like, at what point in time did you just wake up one day and realize, I'm really interested in money, I'm into coins, and then you must have morphed into the counterfeit side of things?
My mom collected coins. My mom collected paper money. My whole life, coins interested me, right? And 2004, a friend of mine called, an elderly gentleman from Brighton. Mike, I just got the half dollars I was missing to fill my set. And I, whoa, the half dollars he was missing, very, very, very expensive Canadian 50 cent pieces from Queen Victoria's era. And he was telling me, you know, he got them at about half price and blah, blah, blah. And I was thrilled for him. I said, I got to see these. He said, well, I'm coming to town. I'll bring them to your house. We're sitting at my kitchen table and we're looking at these, and I'm thrilled. But something was wrong. Something was off with the coins. And I couldn't put my finger on it. Make a long story short, within a couple days, they're counterfeit. He cried. He was not a man of deep pockets. And he had just lost $7,000.
I mean, I don't care who you are. $7,000 is a shit ton of money.
In numismatics, that's not really a lot of money. But it is, if you understand that. And he tried everything. He went to the OPP. They couldn't help him. Went to the QPP because the individual that sold them to him were from Quebec. No, nothing worked. He's out the money. And that day I decided somebody's got to do something about this. So I sat there thinking, how could I do it? So I went looking and I found the two major manufacturers out of China. The Big Tree Coin Factory, and Hong Kong Replica Coins. So I bought everything they made that was Canadian. I bought one of each. And I studied them, and lights started going off. Oh, this is too easy to educate. I just need people to see this and understand. I got a hold of Canadian Coin News. We did a run of articles. And that's when it started educating on counterfeit coins. The Chinese don't make them to sell to you as real. They make them as a novelty.
Is that how they get away with it?
No, they get away with it. In China, you can make any money you want as long as it's dated pre-1948, including Chinese coins. Because that's when their regimes flipped over. They don't have copyright laws in China. As you're aware, you can buy Green Bay Packer jerseys for $20. Sorry about that. And
I got no shame in admitting, yes, I do own a counterfeit jersey.
And it's, they tell you, we only want to make your collection more complete. It's the secondary sellers that offer them as the real thing. And like I said previously, greed kills. somebody will see a buy it now on eBay on a coin they know is worth $4,000, but it's got a $500 buy it now. That dummy doesn't know what it's worth. Buy it now, they pay the money. They didn't look at it. They get the coin. Got it. You're still out $4,000 because you've now got a piece of slag metal. And there are cautious buyers, but greed steps in the way more times than not.
The onus has to be put on the manufacturer a little bit, though. Like, at what point in time do they know what they're doing is wrong? They know
absolutely.
They know damn well this is not legal money. They have to know. The guy running the machine or the supervisor or whoever owns the factory, they have to know this is wrong.
But they're not selling them as the real thing, and they're not breaking laws in their own country.
So it's up to you, the purchaser. They wash their hands and say, well, you do with them as you wish.
I sell them as a replica. What you do with them, that's on you. I told you right up front, it's a replica. The secondary sellers, I've had people in Trenton selling counterfeit coins. I go knock on the door. Why are you doing this? I know they're fake. You know they're fake. Stop it. Because the next time, it'll be the police at your door. I've had my life threatened.
I was just going to say, I can't imagine that interaction went well.
It generally doesn't, but they know they're caught. Here's a classic example from Newfoundland. A friend of mine sent me images of Newfoundland coins he had just bought. And I went, uh-oh, those are counterfeit. He goes, my wife just bought them in Newfoundland. Where'd she buy them? He told me. I called the Royal Newfoundland Constabulary. They said, well, we can't do anything without the coins in hand. I said, what do you want me to do? They said, take them to the local OPP shop, do a counterfeit report with all the information you've already given, give them my phone number, blah, 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 blah. So I go down to Quinney West OPP. They make you call Smith Falls. Two officers come out and put me in a room. How do you know they're counterfeit? Because I'm smart. Like, and it's...
You're not humble at all, Mike.
Well, it's... I know they're counterfeit because I've researched it.
Yeah, because you're an expert. I get
it. They've got all the die marks, blah, blah, blah. Well, what accreditation do you have? Okay, this is not going to go well. Guys, there's the coins. They're counterfeit. Here's the staff sergeant's name at the Royal Newfoundland Constabulary. He's waiting for a phone call and for you to send him the coins. Are they really counterfeit? Yes. How can you tell? I said, okay. Turn it over to the king's side, King George V. Okay? They said, yeah. I said, you see that die crack? We'll put this in terms you guys understand. A die crack is like a fingerprint. It can get bigger, but it can't get smaller. The odds of two coins having exactly the same die crack are like two people having the same fingernail prints or fingerprints. Oh, okay. I said, okay, here's another one. Same die crack. Here's a third date. Here's a fourth date. The entire date run of Newfoundland Large Sense from 1911 to 1929 all had the same die crack. And they went, oh, that's odd. I said, it's not odd. They're counterfeit. Make a long story short, they sent them off to the Royal Newfoundland Constabulary, who contacted me and said, how can we identify these? So over the phone, I taught them how to identify them. And they called me one day and they said, we're going to arrest this guy because he owns a store in a mall in Newfoundland and he's still selling these as the real thing at $20 a piece. Okay. What do you need me to do? Do you mind talking to me on the phone while I'm arresting this guy and just guide me? Sure. No problem. And, oh, George V, can I see those large cents? And I'm listening. I can hear all this. And he said, yeah, those are really nice. Yeah, it's got a die crack on the King George. Oh, so does this one. And all I said was arrest him and hung up. They did. They let him off with a warning, but they arrested him. They never pushed it.
Did they not push it because they didn't know what grounds to go on?
Oh, no, they had them for making money selling counterfeit coins. But it wasn't worth the prosecution. He had just got a warning anyways. So they gave him his warning. Same as a guy in Winnipeg got caught selling $12,000 worth of counterfeit coins. There's your warning. Like,
they don't. Amazing. It's amazing what you can get away with around here, eh?
Oh, it's brutal.
Like, it's crazy, like, what you can do and just.
You want to do a test? I'll give you, when I leave tonight, a counterfeit toonie. Tomorrow, you go down to Quinny West OPP. And you say, I have a counterfeit toonie. Can you tell me what to do with it? And just see what the reaction is. Depending on the police officer, you'll get, I have to confiscate that. All the way up to, I don't have time for this. And they walk away. I can't blame them. But you would think counterfeit money should get a little different reaction than that.
I feel like it's kind of what we started off with, like, you know, some of these people, and I'm not even talking about police, but like myself, yourself, a lot of these people, some of us are, you know, not saying we're worth more than, you know, but people are making, you know, $20, $30 an hour. And when you boil it down to a toonie, you're like, how is my time worth this? But they don't realize that that toonie was just one of the 25 in that roll. That was just one of a skid that showed up in the month of January of 24.
How about a sea container?
Well, yeah, that. And I was going to escalate to that. So now we're talking upwards of, I don't even know how many toonies you could fit in a sea container.
A lot.
And, you know, multiply that by two, and that's a lot of money.
And that's our
That's devaluing our hard-earned money.
That's our monetary system. And like I said, if it was a counterfeit $5 bill, the press and the government would be all over it. But it's a coin, and there we're back to that old adage, it's a coin. Who's going to counterfeit a coin? Who cares about $2? Well, you would care if your mason jar that you figure's got $1,000 worth of toonies, but $100 of them are counterfeit, and when you go to deposit them, the bank does jerk them back. Does it matter then? Well, it's only $100. Well, your principles are a little different than mine. Counterfeiting's been around as long on the money aspect since there's been money. That's just people will find the easy way to make a buck. Jerseys. Yeah. I called the Toronto Blue Jays and I said, I know how you can get the counterfeit jersey market stopped. They didn't want to talk to me.
You know what? I'll comment on this only because my brother works there. I feel like it's a Major League Baseball problem. It's not a Toronto Blue Jays. It's not a Toronto Maple Leafs. It's not an Argonauts or an NFL team by NFL team. You got to go all the way to the top for that. And although it's probably bigger than they might realize, they probably don't have air quotes time for it.
Well, yeah. The apathy that we're discussing about a $2 coin, let's go down that avenue for a second on the on the jerseys. To them, it's the cost of doing business. They know they're going to be counterfeited. Okay, my response to that is, it's too easy to do something about it. What is that? Prove that MasterCard, Visa, PayPal, Discover Card, InstaDebit, all these other things are making money off copyright infringements and counterfeiting of said. And catch MasterCard accepting a counterfeit transaction. The same thing for all the companies. It's too easy. They cannot make money off copyright infringement or counterfeiting. It's that easy. Black and white, cut and dried. The apathy of big league sports. Let's put it this way. Why don't they do something about it, and then their bottom line is going to jump so much, they'll be able to lower tickets to the games.
or give bonuses to the shareholders.
Oh, not so much. They get enough already. But it's get it back down to a ticket price.
Yeah. But make the hot dog a little cheaper. Make the cold one a bit cheaper. Make the admission for the family of four
exactly
who might not even be able to afford to be there anyways.
There's just a bit joke cheaper. For you. The burger at a Blue Jays game, the size of a toonie is $12. So it's, but that's the same thing as the counterfeit coins. The apathy, the acceptance. Well, that's what it is to do business with certain individuals in China. No, it's not. Do something about it. The avenue has been given to you on a silver platter, and it's a proven approach. The Blue Jays wouldn't even talk to me. I thought it was funny because I was right after, and I just wanted to give them a suggestion and explain how I had just been successful. They didn't even want to talk to me. It was kind of cool.
So how many people are out there fighting this fight with you? Because, I mean, there's counterfeit instruments, counterfeit coins, jerseys. There's counterfeit women's purses. There's counterfeit, like, everything is counterfeit in the aggregate. So, like, how many people are actually out there fighting this?
The peace officers are overworked. There was a bust a few years ago at a flea market in the concrete sea to the west of us. Massive flea market. And this guy was selling counterfeit bags, wallets, all that sort of stuff. But the police basically got forced into it. And yet right beside him was a guy selling counterfeit coins. And they did nothing about it. I defend the police because they don't have the resources, but that starts with our government. They don't give the CBSA the tools they need or the people they need.
And what's the CBSA?
The Canadian Border Services, the customs, for lack of a better term. The last toonie bust was 26,000 counterfeit toonies. They just, by chance, in a random check, oh, those aren't metal discs. Those are toonies. And there was 12,000 or so in that package. So they just backtracked. Where were they going?
There was just over 12,000, and they found 14,581 in the guy's house. So for a grand total of 26,631.
There you go. They found that by accident, and that was the third delivery that they were able to get back from Alibaba. That was the third shipment he had got.
So there could be the other two orders previous were probably other 12,000. So there are probably at least 24,000-25,000 shipments or 24,000-25,000 pieces that preceded it.
It's,
and that could have just been just a drop in the bucket.
Oh, absolutely. Like, if I'm running 4% in Trenton, like I said, and you multiply that across Ontario, you're talking millions and millions of $2 coins. So the guy in Quebec that gets busted with 26,000 that's bringing them in 12,000 at a time, he didn't do that. So it makes you think, and a lot of people go, well, I don't care. It doesn't affect me. Really? Okay, how about the store that just lost a bunch of money depositing counterfeit toonies? They got to raise their prices. Does that bother you? They've got to recoup their losses.
Yeah, everybody hates when somebody raises the prices, but very few realize why, maybe.
Why?
And could you imagine a world maybe where there was no counterfeit money? Maybe inflation would be 0.5% lower. Maybe, you know, everything would be just a couple points less than they are right now.
You got to remember, counterfeit money in Canada is very, very small scale compared to the United States.
Are you an expert in American coins as well, or just Canadian?
Just Canadian. I don't deal with the American coinage, I have the ability and the recognition in certain areas, but they're counterfeits? No. And I have my hands full just with Canadian, because I'm on my third generation of counterfeit Chinese Canadian coins. They've changed the dies 3 times, but that could be by accident, or they just make new dies. That's why with the counterfeit Toonies, with the camel toe, there's a really good website, cameltoetoonies.ca. And there's actually a variety section that shows you all the different dies, how many sets of dies have been used to make counterfeit Canadian money.
And just so everyone listening is clear, dies being the negative and positive on either side that punch the coin out of a flat stock in shape and with the imprint on it.
Exactly. And if there's 16 or 18 or 20 different dies that we know of because a friend of mine tracked them, and if they make 50,000 coins out of each die before it fails completely, that's a lot of counterfeit toonies.
And for the low investment of a die set, which might only be $100 or a couple hundred dollars,
in
translated
modern
in,
day? Exactly.
Into the Chinese yen or whatever currency, I think it's the yen. Yeah, I mean, that's a cheap investment. Even if you're selling them for 5-10 cents a piece.
Absolutely.
You can amortize that. Yeah, there's huge profit there.
And if you're buying them for in bulk at 5 cents a piece, like that individual in Quebec was, your profit margin's pretty big. And if you can sell them to other people for a dollar, have them launder them, or find different ways of laundering them, like through a company that goes through a lot of change every day, it's even harder and harder to find them once they infiltrate the system. How about a car wash? Laundromat. They deposit tens of thousands of coins.
Because, I mean, those vending machine-style car washes, I mean, I don't know how they work personally, but I feel like you put the coin in, and it just recognizes the size of the coin.
Size and weight.
And it accepts it, so the counterfeit doesn't even have to look like a toonie. It just has to be the size and weight of it, and it goes, oh, that's a $2 coin. Proceed, or counts it as $2, add another toonie, now you're at $4, now you got 4 minutes of car wash. Carry on. And there's no traceability there, right?
Exactly.
Once that toonie goes in the pot below, it has no idea if you did it.
But if you find an operator that may be a tad shady, I'll sell you these toonies for a dollar. Oh, I'll buy those for a dollar.
But who in the right mind would do? Oh, you're saying a counterfeiter would say, yeah, but if you're the consumer, if you're buying these, you know something's wrong. Who in the right mind is going to take a 50% loss on money?
But they're not taking a 50%
loss. Well, no, but I'm the consumer. I don't know where you got these. I just assume they're, or well, no,
but
I
if
guess
you're
you
shady.
Oh, well, yeah, you're right.
That's
yeah,
what I'm
right.
saying. If you're shady, that's how easy it would be to launder.
Right. You come to me and say, I got $100 or $50 worth of toonies here. I'll give them to you for $25. No questions asked. And me, the consumer,
you're going to look at them and they resemble it.
And I'm going to say, why wouldn't I? I'm going to go and spend it at convenience stores or vending machines where there's no traceability and you don't know the guy you're harming, and then, you know, you're out. I get it.
And if you come up, I'm going to sell you 10,000 of them at a dollar a piece. You're going to make $10,000 instantly. Oh, and the chances of getting caught are slim and nil. Oh, I'm going to jump at that game. And that's what happens. So now you've got thousands entering the banking system, laundered. How do you track that? You can't.
So I want to be respectful of your time. I know it's a weeknight here. I do want to cross off a couple more things. But before my wife and kids and I moved here, we lived in Lindsay. And I was employed by a big employer there. And a coworker came in one day with $20 bills and was selling them for $10 a piece. And we did, nobody there made a lot of money. We were all underpaid. It was a horrible place. And I took one of the $20 bills, and for like a brief moment, I thought,
what's the harm?
What's the harm? It's borderline victimless, so to speak. And I grabbed that $20 bill, and I looked at it, and I gave it right back to him. I said, that is the worst copy of anything I have ever seen in my life. It didn't look like a $20 bill. It didn't feel like a $20 bill. There was like a weird red stripe up one side. I'm like, $20 bills are green, buddy. Like, who is going to buy this thinking this is legitimate? And he goes, suit yourself. I said, okay, thanks. I'm out. Thanks, but no thanks. Can't do it. I do have some integrity. And he did end up selling them. And I mean, we all kept working. I don't think anybody got caught. And now nobody was buying thousands because nobody had that kind of money. But I remember, yeah, everybody, yeah. So Buddy made money. So he was probably buying them for five, sold them for 10.
Or he was making them.
I don't think this particular guy was making them. I don't think he did. I just think he...
Two-sided printer.
I think he just had a line on them. He knew a guy who could get them. His guy probably bought them for $2 a piece. He bought them for five, sold them for 10. And nobody got caught, as far as I know. But that's a horrible story in its own.
You see, you used a term that is right at the point of the counterfeit toonie issue.
Integrity.
Victimless crime.
Oh, victimless crime, yeah. Well, so for a brief moment I thought that, but then I just couldn't do it. Because my wife and I do have integrity, and I can't do this.
But when people see counterfeit toonies, I get people on the base all the time that stop me and go, Mike, got another counterfeit toonie today, but I used it at the bought another coffee with it. And, okay, well, good for you, but why? Well, who's it hurt?
And yeah, I mean, it's just Tim Hortons. They got lots of money.
But it just, no harm, no fault, right? Wrong answer, because somewhere down the line, somebody may get hurt just for trying to make a living and accepting your $2 coin or your five $2 coins. You're buying something from them. They, in good faith, give you something.
Yeah.
And it just, oops, you know, it's, I don't know, maybe it just because it's coins, and I've seen guys get spanked for big numbers. And it's just wrong.
Well, I mean, you showed me that 1 ounce. I'd like to have a quick look at it before you leave here. To me, it was remarkable. And as somebody who does own a little bit of gold and silver, nothing to write home to mom about, but I do have a little bit, and it's a good-looking coin. You know, from
once I show you the issues with it, and you compare it to a real one, you'll go, oh, shit. But, you know,
right.
It's like the counterfeit toonie I showed you, and you had a real one there. You look at the bear's paw. Now that you've seen it, you don't ever have to be told again. And every toonie you get now, you'll check. And you'll be surprised the first time you find one.
So before I let you loose, I do want to cover what to look for a toonie. And there was one other thing I wanted to ask you, but it just slipped my mind. But for our lovely listeners, what are we looking for? What are we looking for on a $2 coin, a legitimate one versus an illegitimate one? You mentioned the camel toe on the right paw.
Yeah.
It clearly doesn't look right.
Right.
It does look like it's split down the middle. But what else are we looking for?
It depends on the date. The dates that are the camel-toed toonies are 1996, 2002, 2004, 5, 6, 7, and 10. Now, with each date, there's a little bit different. Like, the fonts are the wrong size of the dates. The queen's nose is not right. But those are things that you're not going to readily pick up by eye. However, on the 2004, 2005, 2006, the maple leaf on the queen's side of the coin is not centered. It's too high. You can see it's not centered. But once again, it's hard to notice. the best identifier of them all is the front right foot. If it looks like a closed fist, that's what it's supposed to look like. If if it's a Vulcan front foot, you can see the gap, just like Spock would give you the Vulcan live long and prosper sign, or the camel toe toonie, as it's known numismatically. Once you see one, you will never forget it. They are that obvious.
In my online sleuthing, the other thing that came up was the two looks like a letter Z, or the number two looks like a letter Z sometimes. More Z-shaped than number two shaped.
Sometimes.
And another thing came up. This one here is a 2007, but another one I seen, it says Canada too many times on it.
That's the double Canada dollar. That's the new one that the guy just got busted with in Quebec. He had 26,000 of them. I've never held one. I've only seen pictures of them. It's supposed to have Canada, then the two, and then dollars.
Whereas these ones say Canada two, then Canada yet again.
And Canada again. See, once again, I give the individual in China that made these credit. He didn't make them exactly the same.
Could that have gotten them in even more trouble, maybe?
Nope. That gives them an out. They're not the same as your Canadian
because
money.
They're clearly different. Clearly, and it's up to you as the purchaser to realize there's something amiss.
And it's like the Z dollars. Somebody, there was a handful of them originated, or they were found in Hawkesbury. It wasn't $2. It was Z, as in Z, dollared with a D. And they were, I call them satirical. Somebody had them made. The king's side was wrong, and the polar bear was wrong. Like, they just were blatantly wrong. Somebody made a satirical coin.
Or a Chinese mint made them so poorly, and maybe they paid 2 cents per unit.
Well, but these weren't even close. The same as the double Canada version. And I believe that's the manufacturer in China going, that's still illegal in Canada. You cannot manufacture anything that even resembles a Canadian coin. That's what makes it illegal. But this guy in China goes, I'm not trying to counterfeit. Look, it's not even the same. And that, to a lot of people, would be acceptable, but not under Canadian law. So you got to remember there's four different examples of different counterfeit toonies. There's what's affectionately known as the Montreal Mint. That was the first ones. That was a tool and die maker who went and made a pair of dies and went into his own business, and he got busted by accident. But there's the Z-dollared, which I just explained. There's the camel toe, which is the one that has flooded Canada, and they have been found in every province, and the double Canada dollar. So there's four different counterfeit toonies. And if your listeners do happen to come across a double Canada dollar, $2 coin, I want it. I will pay you for it, and that is illegal, but we won't say I'll pay for it. I will give you a donation to a charity of your choice to get my hands on one, because the Canadian government won't give me one.
Who else is out there fighting this good fight with you?
There's a good friend of mine in southwestern Ontario. His name's Brent. He owns the cameltoedtoonies.ca website. He has done spectacular work on the camel toe toonies. And there's coin collectors right across Canada that help. And there's chat groups online, coincommunity.com being one. We talk about counterfeit coins all the time. Anything that pops up, they let me know. They forward counterfeit coins to me. The numismatic world's a very small world in Canada. It's probably 100,000 strong, but they understand the importance of dealing with this. So how many people help me? All of them. They are great. And Brent, like I said, in southwestern Ontario, has been awesome with the camel toes. Like, to build that website is and it's a spectacular website.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to give that a look tonight, and I will include that in any other website. Before we wrap up, I'll put it in the show notes so people can have easy access and check it out.
Oh, please and thanks. That'd be wonderful. They can contact me directly, and you can put my email address on the web, on the notes as well, if you like. I answer any questions about estates. If you have questionable coins, I will respond. If the pictures are clear, I will help you out.
I will say you are very easy to talk to. You are very easy to communicate with, and you're very punctual. So, I mean, and not a lot of people are. So I will give you a lot of credit for that. So I will personally vouch if anybody wants to talk to Mike, he will get back to you.
Common sense and common courtesy may have left town on the same train in most people, but not in my world. How's that?
Because I totally agree. Because as far as I'm concerned, when I reached out to you, you didn't know me from Adam or Fred, and you were more than willing to accommodate and very generous. So yeah, I will 100% vouch for that indefinitely.
That's all I can ask.
So you have anything else you want to speak about? Any other tidbits of information? I do understand it's a weeknight. Anything else that's on your mind? Anything else you think that anybody should know?
If you're buying and selling old Canadian coins, do me a favor. If a deal's too good to be true, it probably is. And reach out. Ask for advice.
Because chances are that coin's not going anywhere.
That's right.
I would have to think the collector's market is fairly small and fairly tight-knit, that if there's a screaming deal.
Okay, here's one I will go to. I showed you a $5 silver bullion coin. A lot more people in Canada are going to bullion coins as an investment and a way to save.
Well, I already told you I do. I go to Bank X, put it in an order, and it shows up at my door in like 36 hours.
Yeah. And when people sell silver maple leaf coins that look like they're made at the Royal Canadian Mint, and they're selling them for $5 each below melt, there's something wrong. Because they would go out of business in a week. There are identifying marks on the counterfeits. The Queen's not right. There's other things that are not right. Get a hold of me. Send me the picture. All I got to do is see it. If it's a clear picture, I'll know in 1 second if it's counterfeit or if it's real. I will tell you. Your hard-earned money can be wasted if you pay $30 for one counterfeit coin because you know it's worth $38, because you felt somebody made a mistake. The odds are they didn't, you did. One out of every 100,000, you may get a good deal. One out of 100,000. The other 99,990, you made a donation to somebody that was doing nothing but ripping you off.
With likely ties to organized crime. And
possibly,
the rest.
Or
just nefarious acts.
That's right. And they know what they're selling. That's why they're not asking full pop for it. They want to get rid of it quickly. And bullion coins have been targeted. It wasn't that long ago that nobody knew they were in Canada but me. And I bought 5 of them. Hot off the press, I went to a major national coin show. I walked up to a dealer table and I went, "Oh, I need some quick cash. You want these 5 bullion coins?" "Yep." And he starts counting out cash. I said, "You better look at them." And then he realized who I was and he went, "No way." I went, "Yep."
You just stroll in with those glasses, the nose, and the fake mustache and pretend like your name is John.
But he stood in front of me. This individual knows who I am, but the trust is implicit. He didn't even look at the bullion coins because they weren't known yet. And what I did was I proved a point to him. Pay attention. I did that with every dealer at the coin show. Scared the hell out of all of them. They now own machines to test gold bullion, silver bullion, that's portable.
So the gold and silver that I own came from Bank X. I don't bank with that bank anymore, so I'm not going to mention them. I think they did me dirty, but anyways. Yeah, take a minute. You're good.
My one vice. Shut up. Okay, go into again about your...
The gold and silver that I have from Bank X that I won't mention, they're like sealed. They came to me sealed to show like they haven't been tampered, and they've got little like ridges on all like the perimeter all the way around. And so if I was to give that to you, would you suspect that that is good to go, or you would do your own due diligence or put it through a tester or whatever?
I can buy counterfeit bullion coins in Swiss counterfeit holders, Canadian mint counterfeit holders. The Chinese can duplicate anything.
Yeah, I know. They're so good.
And once again, trusted source. There are differences. But if you don't know what the differences are, how can you identify them? You can't. You are taking a chance.
Unless you buy from a reputable source that you can trust, that you know is vetted and trusted, whether it's a local collector or a bank themselves.
I realize this is a podcast, so it's verbal.
And I imagine this is just a mere pittance of your collection.
Oh, I've got in the range of 7,000 counterfeit coins. But right here, there's counterfeit half-ounce gold, counterfeit one-ounce gold, one-ounce silver, numismatic silver, which is supposed to be 925. Like, if these in this bag were real, you're looking over $100,000.
Is that really what that would be worth?
Yeah.
And together, they're basically valueless. Well, I mean,
yeah.
So you showed me that 1 ounce gold coin. I mean, does it have any gold on it?
No.
Or is it like spray painted or
it's
coated?
It's just junk. It's a conglomeration of metals
that
looks
cheaply,
like gold.
Cheaply refined and just coated. And
yeah, here's a Victoria half dollar dated 1899. Okay. If it was real in this condition, you're looking $8,000 to $10,000. And I've got probably 25 cents in it, but I educate off it. I show people how to identify them because like I've explained, the dyes are just like fingerprints. And in particular with the bullion coins, I noticed within the last 5 years, seniors were going to physical silver. The Canadian $5 maple leaf is world renowned for its silver fineness and its trustworthiness. The Chinese blew that in one day. The manufacturer sent me an email, look what I'm making. And I went, I want five of them right now. And then I show up at a coin show, like I said, the dealers. These guys with hundreds of years of experience were scared because it changed the way they had to do business. And like you said, it's because of somebody in Trenton's backyard that did that and took the interest in it. It's comical. I watch look what I bought, Mike, for $4,000, you know, or $1,000. And I went, did you look at it first? Well, I didn't have to. It's worth six. Really? You just lost $1,000. Greed. People didn't know better. Greed. It kills, man, and on both sides, because the secondary seller that's making the money, I will catch them. I'll put law enforcement on them. And then, is it really worth it? Because I will also publicly shame you.
See, it's tricky, right? So you're employed full time, and you just do this on evenings and weekends and in your spare time, right? Like, nobody, does anybody employ you to do this? Or you have just taken your level of expertise and just you're doing it for the betterment because you know it's the right thing to do?
I do it because somebody's got to do it.
So you're fighting the good fight because nobody else is, except for your friend Brent. But I mean, nobody is really championing for this.
No, and everybody in a hobby should look out for their hobby. Your guitars. It's because if you don't, you're enabling the bad people. When your hobby starts dying, don't whine at anybody that your collection is now worth nothing because there's nobody left to buy it. The supply outweighs demand because everybody left the hobby. They were sick of counterfeits. And the government won't help. We have to do it ourselves. So if nobody's doing it, aren't we wrong at that as well?
Absolutely.
It's a personal mindset. I felt so bad for my friend who has since passed away. I felt so bad for him. I was angry. And I took that anger and vented it in that direction. If I could have got a hold of the seller from Quebec, I may not be sitting here today with you. I may be in cells because I stepped on his face a dozen times. But everybody can do their own bit. And every day, do something nice or helpful. It's the right thing to do.
And the kicker of it all is you've made yourself so available for this exact fight you're fighting. If people want to get a hold of you, it's not hard to get a hold of you. You're very communicative. We already discussed that. So if you think there's something nefarious happening, you're only just an email away. Within 24 to 36 hours, you'll get back to somebody and say, look at this is good, or stay away, or yeah, if you think there's something counterfeit in your neighborhood.
And it's free.
It just sounds like all you got to do is be persistent to these guys, the eBays, the PayPals, that there's something wrong here and something has to be done, and thus it can be.
And the one thing is, like, I've looked at hundreds of thousands of photos people have sent me. If I'm not 100% sure, I do not voice an opinion. Because when it comes to counterfeit coins, all I have is the last coin I checked. If I make a mistake, my reputation is pooched. If it's a clear picture, I will tell you one way or another if it is a Chinese counterfeit coin. Now, remember, there are contemporary counterfeits out there from the 40s, the 30s, the 20s. That's different. But
you can identify those as well?
Yes. But I may have to hold that coin in my hand because now you're into very subtle weight differences, very subtle font differences, spacings that you just can't get off of a photograph. But as far as the Chinese counterfeits, which outnumber the rest of them massively, I can send you a picture. You have any doubts? I'll send you a picture of a counterfeit coin with circles on what to look for. And then you can tell yourself, do you think it's counterfeit? And I'll teach you what you're looking at. Takes 10 minutes. Like with the toonies sitting there with you. Takes seconds. As long as you're open-minded and you can see. It's free. It's easy. And everybody should be doing it. And coin collector-wise, the honest ones do. And if they don't know the answer for a young collector or an inexperienced collector, they'll reach out to me to help that person. Like I said, it's a very close-knit is the wrong term because we're not. But when it comes to advice and knowledge, it's free.
You're all fighting the same battle.
Exactly.
Keep it up, Mike. You're a hell of a guy.
I have fun.
You're a hell of a guy. Talking to you has been a real pleasure on a miserable Tuesday afternoon.
Thank you for your time, and it's wonderful. And we'll do it again sometime if you want.
Any time you want to come here and talk, and anytime. So I've got cameltoetoonies.ca. You are a part of a coin group. What's the website address for that?
Coincommunity.com, and then go to the Canadian section.
Go to the Canadian section, folks. I will put those notes down below for people to click on, and Mike has generously donated his email address if anybody has any concerns of their coins. And, Mike, meeting you has been a real pleasure. I very much look forward to speaking to you anytime you have anything to gripe about or anything you want to discuss. And now that we've met, I hope to bump into you at a grocery store or at an arena or anywhere here in town.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Take good care. Thanks for listening, everybody, and I really hope you enjoyed my chat with Mike Marshall. If you have any suggestions for the show, you have any questions, comments, or dirty jokes, you know where to send them. TheTieThatBindsPod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one. Thanks, everyone.